Okay,
Okay, here we are on September the 8th, and Dolores is going to lead our discussion today. So go ahead and Dolores.
thank you. Yes, I believe we're on Moses 17, verse 10, where Moses is permitted to watch God presiding at a universal conference. And it's to determine the reward of the just spirits that have been perfected in the world. I thought that was interesting that there are some that can be perfected in the world. Okay, with verse 10, I'll read the first one. When you came here, I told you to sit in the place that I prepared for you, in the sacred mountain of meeting. And I ordered you to remain seated while my glory passed between the rock of my throne. And behold, I laid my hand upon the cleft of the rock that divided between me and thee, and covered thine eyesight to not see my countenance. And then, when I withdrew my hand, and you looked over your shoulder and saw me at a glance behind you, giving you the keys of the administration of my priesthood. For how much my face cannot be seen for lack of this seal that I put about this. I didn't have a question until I read the last line, so maybe you can clear it up.
I think the next verse kind of adds to that, doesn't it?
Okay. I'll read it. For behold, the priesthood does not allow man to see God, provided.
Hold it.
No.
Read that again. There's no not. For behold, the priesthood does allow man to see God, is what my version says.
Yes, I'm sorry. For behold, the priesthood does allow man to see God, provided that this man has received the key corresponding to such a privilege and is a high priest of the second order of the only begotten Son, which possessing all the keys corresponding to his ministry, which was preordained from before the foundation of the world. I still have that question. My face cannot be seen for lack of this seal that I put about thee.
Doesn't verse 11 say that he got that seal?
My face cannot be seen. So you're saying that verse 11 clears that up.
I don't know. I welcome other comments. That's my first impression.
Okay.
Michael or Robert or Rex might have more to say on it.
I don't know. I have thoughts, but I don't know if this is saying that every high priest can see God or just those that have been taken up into heaven, such as Mauricio. I also wonder if this is referring to those that have been preordained before the foundation of the world to be the high priest that would. The 144,000. So I don't know. That's my thoughts. I don't know that that really helps any, but.
Sure. I think this last phrase, it's not the kind of English we talk about, we usually talk. I think it's got two negatives in it. And if I try to read it without the negatives, it might say, for how much my face can be seen with this seal I put about thee. Perhaps that might.
Yeah.
Then verse 11 fully explains what he's talking about.
Okay. So this might be a error of English. I
Well, not an error, a well, back when I talked that my English teacher, grade school, said, "Do not, don't, you know, avoid those double negatives," you know.
Exactly.
So,
If we look in Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, it's talking about the four angels. And it says, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So this seal, perhaps it refers to that seal in their foreheads of the 144,000.
of priesthood, you know.
Yeah.
I went and took the Portuguese and translated it with DeepL, and this is the way it translated that last phrase. It says, giving you the keys of my administration priesthood, how much my face cannot be seen for lack of this seal I put on you. So it sounds like he, because of the seal, he can be see the face. And I'll read the next verse. For behold, the priesthood does enable man to see God, as long as this man has received the key corresponding to such privilege, and be a high priest of the sacred order of the Son of the Only Begotten, possessing all the keys corresponding to his ministry that was preordained from before the foundation of the world. So I don't know if that helps any.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So
Yeah, there's a yesterday in our class at Center Place Branch, Brother Rex led a lesson, and there was a verse that was really profound. It was, I think it was the third book of, or a third, what is it? Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 11, we were studying. And I think it was verse 3, perhaps, talked about the glory. And it said that Jesus, how does it say? It says Jesus, what's he say? Gave his glory.
I can read it if you want.
Yeah, if you read that phrase.
I'll just read the phrase before and then come in. He extends to us sinners the invitation to the same sonship with the Father through adoption. And for this reason, he granted us the glory that God had given him, glory that belongs to sons and daughters, heirs of his kingdom. And therefore, we will no longer be called servants nor servants of his house, but regents and stewards of your property.
Yeah. So it was an interesting discussion yesterday about the glory, and I've just wondered where it says here in this verse. It says, "While my glory," is capitalized in the version I have, the my and the G on the glory. I wonder if that's referring to Jesus, or the presence of God, or. I'm not sure, but because of the atonement, we can obtain the glory. Anyway, that's all. Thank you. I'm still thinking about how these verses fit together.
Do you think he was allowed to see the glory pass between the rock of my throne? Because he holds his hand on the opening in the rock. And he says, you didn't see me until you glanced over your shoulder. So evidently he was administering the ordinance to Moses to see lady's hands on his head. So he wouldn't have seen, he would just have seen a part of Jehovah.
Yeah. Well, one thing, the descriptions we have from the three witnesses and Brother Mauricio of the angel Moroni, they say he is a being of light, that light emanates from his body. It's emitted from his eyes. He opens his mouth, you see light. I mean, just like it said in the Doctrine and Covenants, if your eye be single to my glory, your whole body shall be filled with light. And it's like maybe when Moroni comes, it's not the fullness of God's glory that we're seeing. Assuming glory is in this sense something we perceive, that if Jesus would come in his glory, you know, we know that it's a consuming fire.
Yeah.
But we in our mortal state, you know, would be wither and die. And so this verse here is talking about the priesthood, the power that, or the privilege that's in the priesthood here. Not that all the people who have this priest, who have been ordained, have this ability, but Moses did. I mean, he was the only one in his group, as far as my understanding, that really understood what God was doing. And so he was able to perceive the glory, but probably not in its fullness. And that's why he just had a glimpse of God.
Wow. That's interesting to know that when they open their eyes, there's light that comes out. Well, could someone read the next verse if we're ready, please?
I'll take it.
Okay, thank you.
Verse 12. But this mystery, my son Moses, which I make known to you at this time, concerning the 144,000 high priests anointed by me on Mount Zion in the heavenly Jerusalem, even before the foundation of the world, chosen among all nations of the earth, from among all times by me predetermined, beginning with this dispensation, from which my people Israel shall be scattered throughout the four corners of the world. This sounds like that Revelation verse I read. Yeah. Those times predetermined by me and foreordained, like Rex said in the Alma chapter 13, they were high priests that were foreordained from before the foundation of the earth. I think it says that three times in that chapter. Therefore, these, I'll continue the thought in verse 13. These high priests, remnants of the 12 tribes of Israel, must know this mystery to remain only among those who possess this gift and calling, or among those to whom I, the Lord, allow this mystery to be revealed to him through a high priest born in the world of mankind in the similarity of Melchizedek. Similarity, similarity, same thing.
The verse 12, back on that, I thought it's interesting, the wording. He said he anointed them, even before the foundation of the world, chosen from among all the nations of the earth. Well, how could that happen? The nations weren't formed until after Babel. You know, they were scattered, and they became those that left Babel became what, the rulers and of the nations and so on. And it's interesting. I kind of get my mind all twisted here, but I guess the Lord sees the beginning from the end, and he didn't say the, and these people would be scattered in all the nations. He said from the nations. So, but maybe that's a going forward in time, where again the Doctrine and Covenants says, and it will come to pass that the righteous shall be gathered out from among all nations and come unto Zion, singing with songs of everlasting joy. So, it's good to think about.
To me, it was saying that those high priests would be placed in the different nations, after when that time came about. I know it's worded, not exactly worded that way, but that's what came to my mind, that throughout the different eras of time, these high priests would be placed in these different nations.
Yes, because it says beginning with its dispensation, so it must be how what God can see the in from the beginning. Because I wondered about its dispensation, but then it goes through all nations of the earth, so like Bob said, that it would have to be after Babylon. And from all times. And then, do we know where the four corners of the world is? I often wonder about that. What are the four corners of the world?
I think, isn't that a Hebrew expression?
Oh, really?
But
Okay.
there's also, I think there's four angels that are over each of the four corners of the earth. John Pratt talked about that a fair amount.
Oh, missed that one.
I wanted to read from DNC 77. I think it's interesting that this 144,000. We talks about 12,000 from each tribe and everything, and so we think about, okay, well, where's the tribe at? Where can you draw those 12,000? But all this ordination was done before the earth was ever organized, and we think of the 144,000 as being chosen, but they're already chosen. I think that's what this verse is telling us. But anyway, from DNC 77. Says, what do we understand by seating the 144,000 out of all the tribes of Israel, 12,000 out of every tribe? We understand that those who are sealed are high priests ordained under the holy order of God to administer the everlasting gospel, for they are they who are ordained out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people by the angels to whom is given power over the nations of the earth to bring us as many as will come to the church of the firstborn. I just think it's interesting that initial choosing started clear back in the pre-existence.
Yeah. In Hebrews chapter 12, this idea of Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, we hear that as well. Hebrews 12:22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion with an S, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So that phrase caught my attention, Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable company of angels, the church of the firstborn. I think we've had past discussions about that, the church of the firstborn. Back in
Okay.
verse 7.
So let's go on to verse 14. And God went on speaking to me, Moses, saying, Behold, I am the Lord God Almighty, and infinite is my name, for I am without the beginning of days. Or the end of years, and is not that infinite? And I think that's also in Moses. I'm sorry, gentlemen, my bed mattress has an air compressor on it, and every once in a while the air compressor goes off, so you'll hear that mechanical sound. I can't do anything about it. I'm sorry.
You sound just fine, and we didn't, I
I
didn't
didn't
hear
hear anything.
Okay. So I read verse 14. It's not that infinite. I think it says, uses a different word in Moses' first chapter, right? Being that you are my son, behold, I am pleased to show thee the works of my hands, but not all, because my works have no end, nor my words, because they never cease. Behold, therefore, that no man shall be able to see all my works without contemplating all my glory, and no man can contemplate all my glory and then remain in the flesh upon the earth. I think we just talked about that.
Yeah. May I comment on 14 a little bit?
Of
I
course.
think it's interesting that the God is saying he's trying to he's describing what is infinite, but he's using finite terms or earthly terms like years and days. And we know that the years and days, this earth will pass away, and that there will be. I always understood that in heaven there is no time, but I guess it's because of our mortal minds. But anyway, I thought he's describing him this infinite idea of infinite in terms of days and years. Well, I guess it says without the beginning of days or the end of years. So anyway, never mind. I'm sorry. I get sidetracked, but to me it's just part of the marvel, the majesty and to marvel at all this. Just ponder what God is doing, just how what his being is like, and we will experience that in our resurrected bodies. Thank you.
Well, in the fact that it goes to our understanding to define what is spiritual, infinite, because we don't understand infinite, but we do understand if when our days or our years end or begin. So he's very conscious of our mortality, our humanness. Are there any more comments?
Well, just saying 15, there's no end to my words. And so again, that's our evangelical brothers and sisters would object to that. But to me, it's one of the blessings and marvels of this of the restoration that God reveals and continues to reveal his words.
And that they're just as important as the works. I think there's a place in this book where it talks about we will be judged by our works, and then we'll be judged by our words, which is a new concept that I never found in the old scriptures. Any comments?
This thought of discerning it, you saw every particle. That's in Pearl of Great Price, Moses, chapter one. I'm just zeroing in on keywords that are coming to my mind. Oh, did we read verse 16? Maybe I'm jumping ahead of myself.
No, I think I read it. Maybe not. I don't know. No.
Let me read that real quick, and then I'll go to the Pro a great price, Moses. And it came to pass, while the voice still spoke, I looked and saw the earth, yea, all of it, and there was not a particle of it which I saw not, discerning it by the Spirit of God. And I have also seen inhabitants, and there was not a single soul that I had not seen, and its number was great, even as countless as the sands of the shore. Here we have in Pearl of Great Price, Moses, chapter 1, 27 and 28, and it came to pass, as the voice was still speaking, Moses cast his eyes and beheld the earth, yea, even all of it. And there was not a particle of it which he did not behold, discerning it by the Spirit of God. And he beheld also the inhabitants thereof, and there was not a soul which he beheld not, and he discerned them by the Spirit of God, and their numbers were great, even numberless as the sands upon the seashore. So we almost get a verbatim, that almost sounds exactly those couple verses there from Pearl of Great Price Moses versus Sealed Book Moses.
Yes.
So is this saying that Moses saw all souls that would ever inhabit the earth as long as the earth would stand? Or is it saying that he saw? I mean, to me, that's what it's saying. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so. I think he saw everyone. And
so he would have seen us, in other words.
Sure.
Amazing, yeah.
Well, it goes back to that verse that Brother Bob referenced in the DNC, section 88, where it talks about that he who is filled with light comprehendeth all things. So maybe a portion of the glory was resting upon Moses, and he was filled with that light, and he was able to discern and comprehend. I mean, can you imagine seeing every single particle of the earth? That's trillions upon trillions of little minute, microscopic particles and atoms and the sands upon the seashore. But he discerned it all by the Spirit of God. And he saw all the inhabitants, and he saw all the lands and all the people throughout all of history. Right, that was a pretty grand vision, I would say.
Exactly. When you're ready to go to 17, I can read 17, Dolores.
Oh, please.
And I saw many lands, and each was called the world, and there were inhabitants on its surface. Then I understand who were the righteous spirits who had been perfected in the heavens, and I was able to understand who were those ancient spirits who made up the church of the firstborn. And I could understand who are the high priests who were ordained by God before the foundation of the world of mankind, and because they have been endowed with knowledge since they are born. I thought it was interesting that called the lands, each were called world, almost like as if we're talking about more than one planet. I don't know if that's maybe I'm going too far.
I wondered about that too.
Well, doesn't it say it'd be our LDS Doctrine and Covenants 22, but it'd be the LDS here, Moses. Doesn't it say that worlds without end I have created?
Sure.
Oh, but I remember also he said, but only this earth. But that's in the Doctrine and Covenants, I think. Only this earth. Verse 8, I have. I don't know. Let me see what verse.
Moses was given the account of this earth.
Yeah.
That's right.
And there's three groups here.
Moses chapter 1, verse 35, Pearl of Great Price, Moses says, But only an account of this earth and the inhabitants thereof give I unto you. So you're right, Russell. He all these lands and worlds and planets he saw, but then the Lord kind of zeroes it in and says, okay, you've seen the vastness, but now we're just going to show you this one.
Yeah, and back on verse 33, it says, "And worlds without number have I created. Nails all created them for my own purpose. By the Son I created them, which is my only begotten. And the first man of all men have I called Adam, which is many." So, yeah, there's an Adam on each world, apparently.
The Adam Kadmon, as the book of the Enoch book refers to him. The Keys of Enoch, I meant. That's the J.J. Hertog book.
Right.
I guess you're referring to something I'm not familiar with.
Adam Kadmon, Kadmon. It's like the archetype or the prototype of first man, the Adam Kadmon.
Thank you. Wow. So there's three groups here. The one who had been perfected in the heavens, and then the ancient spirits who made up the church, the firstborn, and the 144 high priests who were ordained by God. And the purpose was for this conference back in verse 8 to determine the reward of the just spirits that have been perfected in the world. So it's possible for some to be perfected in the world, I guess. Is that what you understand?
I think it's a good insight.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
Would you like me to read
yes, please. Verse 18.
18's fairly short. You want me to read 19 also?
Okay, thank
Okay.
you.
These have been anointed with the knowledge of all things from the beginning, not needing anyone to teach him something about the kingdom of God. But being from infants endowed with such divine attributes, they feel the desire to serve God and seek from him the knowledge for how much to these will be shown the way to which they must walk before God. When it came to pass that I cried unto God, saying, Tell me, I beseech thee, why are they saying so? And by what manner have ye done them? Dash. And the Lord God said to me, Moses, I have done these things for my own purpose. Here is wisdom and abideth in me. It also continues in you and through those whom I call. For how much I call no man unless they get elected. For not even my own only begotten was chosen by me, but this one, being with me from the beginning, acting as master of works of all creation, elected himself, saying, Father, here am I, send me.
That's very
Wow.
interesting, talking about how God does not interfere with our agency and that we have to actually step up, that he won't push us.
It also defines what God thinks is elected. Our idea is going and voting for someone and choosing the one we think would do the best. But this is a volunteer organization. You ask for the job, and that's how you're elected. Have
Yeah,
such
I go ahead.
No, I'm I'm finished.
I'll just share something with you. At times I think about why is it that I am born where I was or where I am? Why wasn't I born in any other country of the world? Why wasn't I born to Muslim parents or atheists or, some other religion? Why, how has it come to be that I am here, and have this privilege of the restoration in general, but I think this verse addresses that, but still it to me it's not just a, it comes with a big responsibility, I think. I think anyone that's in the restoration, it's not a, although it's a privilege, it's not to reward the person. It's because what was just said, that there's work to be done, that must be done, because the Lord's not satisfied with only those in the restoration. He wants to gather all his people. And we've already read that the high priest would be in that and scattered to all the nations of the world. Well, there's nations of the world that don't welcome Christianity right now. Yet the righteous will be gathered. And so there's a lot of work to be done. Anyway, end of thought.
Thanks.
Thank you. Back at verse 18, it says, not needing anyone to teach him something about the kingdom of God, but being from infants endowed with divine attributes. And I know that I've always been interested in what God does. And that's why I joined the church after reading the Book of Mormon. And, but it goes on. Well, it only raises more questions. And the more questions you have, I was so amazed when John told us about this sealed book. I couldn't wait to tell a lot of people, and they just didn't want to hear that. They still don't want to hear it. Sorry, but that's all I have to say. Yes, let's go on.
Well, the verse here, Sister Dolores, it's in 18. I think it's key. It says here, they feel the desire to serve God and seek from him the knowledge. Whatever your circumstances are, wherever you're born, you can have this desire. You may not have the opportunity that some of us have in the restoration, but you still have this desire. And that's the first step. We know that's the first step in serving Christ. Come unto me, you have this desire. And so it says that God will be shown, they will be shown the way to which they must walk before God. So we have to trust in that. Those in the restoration, this is the hope of the world. That we in the restoration, we can't be overly self focused, but we have a purpose. The restoration is to raise this New Jerusalem, this holy city, the holy temple, the spiritual temple, so that then the missionaries will go to the ends of the world to gather the righteous, and so and to teach them. And so this desire is amazing. God put in the infants this desire, to serve him.
And I think we can see that desire to serve him through some of those organizations that they form to feed those without food and to provide shelter for those who have lost their homes. There's people all over the world who step up and serve God in that way. They might not be seeking the knowledge that we have, but they're certainly serving him all over the world, different religions. Anybody else?
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that God is involved in a lot of different ways. There's, you know, we talk about the one true religion, and yet God works through many paths.
Yeah. That phrase in verse 18, not needing anyone to teach him, the footnote is in 1 John chapter 2. I won't read all the verses, but in verse 27, it says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him.
Thank you. What for 21?
Did we read 20? Maybe I missed that.
I don't think so.
20.
This one's really impregnated with a lot of a lot.
You want to read that one and show us?
Well, I'm looking at all the footnotes down at the bottom, but I'll read it. Verse 20, and by the word of my power, I have created all things, which word which proceeds from me, the great Jehovah and judge of all the earth, that since the days of Adam is pronounced Almighty God, whose name is personified by election in the only begotten Son, this Jehovah being the advocate with the Father, who from time immemorial is pronounced Mighty God, who is full of grace and truth. Do we want to follow those verses?
Sure. Sure. You've got them.
Let me get the first one, Moroni chapter 10, verse 34. That's the last verse of the Book of Mormon. And now I bid unto all farewell. I soon go to rest in the paradise of God until my spirit and body shall again reunite, and I am brought forth triumphant through the air to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both quick and dead. Amen. So that was in reference to the great Jehovah, judge of all the earth. Let's see.
This, I can read the other one. You can see one.
Okay.
His eyes were as a flame of fire. The hair of his head was like white, like the pure snow. His countenance shone above the brightness of the sun. And his voice was as the sound of the rushing of great waters. Even the voice of Jehovah saying, I am the first and the last. I am he who liveth. I am he who was slain, I am your advocate with the Father.
That description certainly describes Almighty God.
But it's Christ.
Yes.
That was the description of when Jesus appeared in the Kirtland Temple, right? In section 110.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Can we have verse 21 then?
I can read it.
Please.
And I have created countless worlds and also created them for mine own purpose, and created them by the Son, who is my only begotten, and I have called Adam the first man of all men, that is, many. However, I'll tell you only of this earth and its inhabitants, for behold, there are many worlds which by the word of my power have passed away, as the world of mankind is passing now. But he that doeth my will, these standeth forever. And there are many who now stand and are innumerable for man to understand. For all things are understandable to me, but they are mine, and I know them in detail.
That's one of the differences between me and thee, I guess. It's wonderful. Thank you for reading.
Sure.
And I always thought that from reading some of the other accounts, although they might not be approved, that there are many Adams because they are as righteous as Adam. But maybe that's a wrong concept.
Well, I think they're as righteous, and they start mankind on those different worlds, just like the Adam that started mankind on this world.
Okay. It says, but he that doeth my will. And also what was interesting is the world of mankind is passing now, but if there are people that doeth my will, these worlds standeth forever. So it's possible for the earth to stand forever, but it will be a new earth, if I understand correctly.
I think that's correct.
And probably one more verse, and then, or is this a good stopping point?
No, I think the one more verse would be good.
Okay. And it came to pass that I, Moses, spake unto the Lord, saying, be merciful to thy servant, O God, and tell me concerning this earth, and to the inhabitants, and to the heavens, and then your servant will be satisfied. And behold, the Lord God spake unto me, saying, the heavens are many, and are innumerable for a man to comprehend in his fullness, even as a land shall pass away, and her heaven shall be dissolved, so that another in her place shall arise. And there is no end to my works, nor my words. What surprises me is that when he creates, he doesn't use works. He uses the word words.
Yeah, that's interesting.
There's a my mic still on. It is in the King James Version. That word is a three-letter word, L-E-T. Let there be light. Let there be, you know, the oceans. That's repeated in each of the verses, let. So that's the powerful word.
Oh, okay. The power word. Thank you. Well, thank you for participating.
I was just going to say at the end here, this earth was created near where God resides, and it was brought here. It was moved out of its place and brought into this orbit around the sun as it is. And at the end of the earth, it shall be taken back and passed through. It'll pass through those transitions, right? From the telestial to the terrestrial and then to the celestial. And as that earth moves out of its orbit around the sun, I imagine a new earth comes and takes its place around this sun, and it just repeats that cycle over and over again. As one passes away, another shall come and take its place. I could be wrong, but that's how I kind of picture it, right? The earth being created elsewhere, brought here, stays in its telestial state for its however long. And then when the earth is the wrap it's wrapped up and you get the ending scene, it's taken back to the God who created it, and another earth will come to this celestial zone and take up its abode.
Yeah, I think that's a good possibility. Another possibility is that the whole solar system makes that transition.
Yeah, good point.
Oh. Okay, I think thank you very much, Dolores. We'll end our recording at this point.